I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Shane gets a cushion.
It's Shane we're talking about here, okay?
Booster seat.
Really upgraded.
Chalk that up to the privileges of rank. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
The minutes.
Oh, that's right.
For the 10th and the 12th.
That's right. The item 5G, the minutes are for the regular meeting of October 10th and the 12th. Thank you, Sarah. The department heads and elected officials, Colin Gerst, IT.
Good morning. Nothing really new to report, just keep busy like always.
Okay, thank you. Sheriff Glenn Denny.
Morning. Not major news for the board this week. We did do the 34 Raceway trap or treat, they call it. Had like 450 kids come through out there, so that was a great event. We'll be joining Lisa's office for the clothesline project tonight. And let's see, we've got a lot of deputies out getting some training this week, some interview training, and we're continuing with the canine training as well. The jail's at 89. 17 are out of county, and we've cleaned up our list quite a bit. We have one or two waiting on prison, and one waiting on the residential facility. That's about all I got.
Okay. Thanks, Sheriff. Yep. Rodney Buesner, maintenance.
Good morning. Really nothing new to report. I'm sure everybody's got their line energy notice in the mail, so I've had a couple questions on that. I'm like, I don't have nothing to do with that, so.
They're calling you about their line.
I didn't know who to call.
Yeah.
The IT utilities for.
So,
I'm
yeah.
gonna call Rodney. I don't know.
Yeah. So you can call the Iowa Utilities Board. They are having a series of customer comment meetings. One in Cedar Rapids, November 6th. Clear Lake on November 7th. Creston, November 8th. And then a virtual on November 9th at iub.iowa.gov. But you can always go to ienergy.com/Iowa rates for any of that information. But they are looking at raising possibly rates or taking that to Iowa Utilities Board for October 24-25 increases. So get a hold of Lion Energy if you have any questions on that.
I got mine in the mail too, Rodney. And then the newspaper had an article in there, you know what the rate is going to be? The one I got in the mail was a lot less than what the Hawkeye had at. So which one do I go by?
Did you add them together?
That's
one
probably
for electric and one for gas.
Yeah. Yeah, it really kind of depends on, you know, residential, non-residential.
Yeah.
It depends on where you're at in that spectrum. There's lots of different rates. But, so. Yep, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Rodney. Jared Glasser, Land Use.
Pretty much just keeping busy as always. I've got a couple subdivisions up for review, and I've got the getting things ready for the public hearings for the solar ordinance starting at the end of this month. Apart from that, I don't have anything else to report.
Thank you. Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
We're busy, but I don't think that's ever not the case. So, clothesline project is tonight from 5 to 7 at the auditorium. We got the initial setup done yesterday, so it looks really, really good. Thank you to Kevin, who's going to come speak, and Shane is actually supposed to be there for an invocation tonight. But yeah, it's coming together in the way I had hoped, so I encourage everyone to attend. It's going to be a really cool event.
Thank you. Ken Heinemann, Mental Health Agency of Southeast Iowa.
You need a shorter name.
I know.
Or something with an acronym.
The mental health man. Okay, here we go. I got six things to talk about because we had meetings with Mahasi region. We've had the CIT meeting this past week, so I just wrote some things down. The Mahaska Management Plan, HHS has reviewed it and corrections were made. Now it goes back to the Governing Board on November 8th and then back to the MHDS Commission in December. So we were hoping to go live December 1, but I think it's going to be at least January 1 before that new management plan will go live. So we're still using the SEAL management plan for this side of the region and the South Central Behavioral Health management plan for that other side of the region until we get all the blessings from HHS and the commission and everyone. Elevate reported on October 12th, CIT meeting, they had 41 calls with 15 from Des Moines County, 28 calls from individuals and family members, 2 from law enforcement, and 12 were stabilized on location. So Elevate's going with their mobile crisis and they're getting plenty of calls, many from this area, and it's just good to know that that service, which is meant to divert people away from jail if they have mental health condition and don't need to be in jail, away from hospital if there's ways we could serve people in the community. I think we're serving them a little bit better this way. 2 mental health professionals going out to where people are at when they're having a mental health crisis. This Elevate started crisis stabilization community-based service on October 16th. And crisis stabilization community-based service, I looked up the definition because it's an additional service to help people stay in the community. It's a short-term intervention for individuals that are intended to stabilize them within the community. Services include medication management, counseling, referrals, and peer support. So it's just some of the extra services to help people stay in their homes, and that just started. And over on the other side of the region, Southern Iowa Mental Health Center is doing the mobile crisis. They're starting up mobile crisis and the same crisis stabilization community-based. So we're going to have it in all 13 counties.
The community-based crisis stabilization, that does not include the mobile crisis, includes follow-ups, doesn't it, with someone that they've been called out to, they follow up?
Right, yeah, it's the same agency. It's Elevate is still doing that service, but
this is an additional service.
Additional, yes, it is additional. Yep. Yep.
So as they dispatch those providers, will they be able to, will mobile crisis, will they be able to say, you know, this is the right service for them? Will they be able to do that?
Yeah,
themselves.
They have these same 2 services, mobile crisis and this community-based crisis service in other areas of the state that they've already been doing this, and they say they really go hand in hand, so you don't just you have more referral options to make than what we had before. So yeah, hopefully it will work well. They say it works really well together, and they really, when they answered our RFP, they said you really ought to have both these services, and we agreed that other parts of the state are doing this, and we should add this to our services for crisis. On November 19th, Hope Haven is merging with Imagine the Possibilities. So they mentioned in a meeting that Hope Haven will keep their name Hope Haven, but they'll be Hope Haven doing business as Imagine the Possibilities. Another thing is Marquita Huffman is going to be the advocate in Monroe County now. So we'll have Ted and April on our side of the region being advocate for 8 counties, and then Marquita will be the advocate for the other 5 counties in our region. So those will be our 3 advocates, Ted, April, and Marquita. Now Marquita, her bosses are the Ottumwa Board of Supervisors, and Ted and April's bosses are the Des Moines County supervisors, because the Iowa code says advocates are under the county, under counties, not under the region. So just
update. Well, they advocate for the individual or the client, don't they, if they're in committal or something like
right,
that,
yep.
Make sure that the client has representation.
Right, as soon as there's a mental health committal and the person's represented by an attorney, as soon as the judge makes the committal for the mental health, he appoints an advocate, and so that's who we
Yep. And I've been supervising them on behalf of the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors for Ted and April.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy to. And MHI, there was some talk about MHI is changing who they're serving. Cherokee is going to serve adults. Independence MHI is going to serve children and long-term placement adults. So the 229 acute adults will go to Independence from now on. So that's going to be a longer transport. You know, we're used to sending people to we're still going to send to Independence for 229s. But adults who aren't under 229s will end up at Cherokee. So that'll be a longer transport for them to get to Cherokee. Sorry, there's a lot of changes and I'm still wrapping my head around them.
Ken, any idea if there's a plan to reduce any number of beds?
They said that the bed count would be about the same. There wasn't a reduction in beds, but you know, how they allocate who can go where could affect it. It doesn't affect the total number of beds, but it affects who goes where. And then the last thing I had on my list was there was a concern in our region meetings for people who have lost their Medicaid and the Medicaid unwinding. People are being given referrals to other services, but some people, you know, as they've had to requalify for Medicaid, they found out they didn't qualify, and so they've lost their Medicaid and they lose their services that were under the Medicaid. And so there's been some concern about that and trying to make referrals to other services when possible. So.
I think there was a concern that sometimes they disqualified the whole family when the children would still be eligible.
Yeah, so Medicaid, I mean, that's a big deal for people who are depending on Medicaid services and used to getting them. When they lose that, it's a hard thing to replace. So. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ken. Andrew Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. Keep it busy. Don't really have anything to add.
Sarah Doty, County Auditor.
Good morning. Hopefully we get our ballots in today for the November 7th election so we can start in-person voting absentee at the counter tomorrow. And we'll mail out anyone who has requested ballots in the morning. Also have a pretty large mailing to go out for the bond that's on the election tomorrow as well, so we will be plenty busy in the office.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that opens the floor to the Des Moines County Engineer. And I'm going to steal your thunder. I already started this morning. I went to a Greater Burlington Partnership, and the highlight of my short presentation was to tell them that there are zero road closures in Des Moines County. All county roads are open to traffic, which immediately irritated the mayor. He accused me of being a show-off.
Yeah,
now that
day.
I've stolen your thunder, you are dead.
One more day, better than Burlington, I guess. But they are all open, and that's a nice thing to say. So. A lot of stuff going on. We might be busier than we even were, but we're kind of in a waiting pattern for some environmental permits, and we can get those taken care of. Hopefully, supposedly they'll show up in the next month or month and a half. We might be able to bid a couple bridges that we're going to use ARPA funding for. So we're working on the plans and got to start working on bid documents and just see what happens. Working on some other bid documents for another short bridge in the Bottoms that we've been talking about for a while. And so we're already laying the works for closing some roads next year in case anybody's concerned. So, things are a lot of stuff now. It's almost busier in the off season to make sure that there's work for the following season. People just don't see that part of it. I'm sure it's the same thing for everybody else, just prep work to get the other stuff done. But other than that, planting's going on. And our shop down south of Burlington is still making progress. I think the electricians are doing some work. When that thing gets buttoned up, we'll probably grab you guys and run you down there so you can take a look at that completed project. But otherwise, plenty busy, but the roads are open, and that is a nice change. We are still doing some cap rock on a few of our small pinch roads. we did some shorter ones here and there that we've been after, so we were talking about 140th today. If you come across one of those, you're gonna want to slow down. It takes about a year for those roads to truly kind of hunker down and everything to tie down, and you may not be able to drive 60 anymore, but they will be better roads for the work. It just takes a little bit of time. So that's all I have. Thank Except for fine. Bus drivers, they're never happy. But I will. All, that's a whole different deal.
I saw you smirking. Yeah,
pretty. He said, "Takes a year for him."
Or two.
Shepherd, Des Moines County Reporter.
Good morning. Nothing new to share today.
Thank you.
I just came to hear Brian, but I.
It's on YouTube, so you'll be able to watch it.
You can watch it again.
You know, Chrissy was unable to make it today. He did send an email, that I'm not going to read the whole thing of the record, but they did have a successful big Halloween last weekend. So I think he's spending the morning with FEMA. I know we don't want to trade places with him, so. If it came this morning, I probably did.
Okay. Chris told me we're not going to make it this morning. Anyway, Chris is not going to make some work. She got another meeting that's interfering with this, and she really needs to go to it. And she sent that this morning.
Okay, correspondence.
I had none.
I had none.
Oh,
hello.
Oh, I didn't see your SSM over. I didn't see your initials. Hi, Shane.
Well, all you want to see is my initials right now. You definitely won't want to see my face.
I don't think we ever claimed to say that we did. You look fine. Your initials look fine up there. Okay, we have accounts payable claims in the amount of $1,027,541.55.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were there, Ida.
I was incognito.
Well, and I hadn't looked at the screen. Okay, we have a payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $1,024.19 and non-cash taxable reimbursements in the amount of $235.35.
I move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. The centerpiece of the meeting, we're going to approve the weed commissioner's report.
This is why Shane showed up.
You can address this. This is right, what you came for, Shane.
Shane always takes interest.
You might want to change it to invasive vegetation.
Actually, that's a completely legitimate wording. Sometimes it's true in a couple ways. Yeah. But the next two are annual rites of passage. I think they're required through the process, possibly even through the code, actually. Jeff Chase is the weed commissioner. He doesn't come down for these. He's got plenty of stuff to be doing. So I don't even have a copy of them. If you have questions, I can get some answers for you. Otherwise, I'd recommend approval.
Move to approve.
I second that.
Okay. Just if anybody wonders, there's apparently been two bull thistles found, one Canada thistle, two musk thistles, and one teasel.
I suspect there's more than that out there. But
what's a teasel?
It's a type of thistle. It's commonly used because it's, from what I'm told, it's the way it spreads often in the past is that it was commonly used in bouquets for like cemetery type wreaths and such. And then it tends to spread in that route in the past. But there are some pretty good populations of it on private property in Des Moines County. It's not as common as some of the other.
Okay. Thank you. Sarah.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes, to the weed commissioner.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Who is the weed commissioner?
Jeff Chase.
Jeff Chase. He's my, one of my road superintendents, but back in, I want to say it was 08 when we had a major county budget crisis, the board disbanded the overall roadside vegetation program, and we worked out a deal, and I took him into my facility so they wouldn't get laid off. So he kept that title and that responsibility, but he also has some other responsibilities now.
And I would jump in here for a moment, Mike. County engineers beat up a little he could have made a bigger deal of it. At the time, he essentially saved county rural services.
It was ugly back then.
So it was we were in his debt. He's a little modest.
We've come a long way since then. A long way since this county.
Anyway, we have the 2024 County Weed Commissioner Certificate form to be approved.
Second.
Sarah.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
I didn't realize Des Moines County was so progressive. We have a weed commissioner. Wow.
Cutting
edge.
What
kind of weed, Shane?
Cutting edge.
If it makes you all feel better, it's a generational thing to call it weed. The younger kids just call it marijuana.
Well, we're old then.
It's a code.
Okay.
I had a question.
Oh, Bob.
What's a weed commissioner's certificate?
I'll get you a copy of it.
What's it mean?
Something that
he's a certified weed commissioner.
The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship insists that we have. It's just you can probably call them, but we can get you a copy of that.
Thank you.
And we do have entertainment this morning. The Burlington Fire Department Station Number 3 presentation by the Burlington Fire Chief Matt Trexel. So.
I thought we already had the entertainment, but
that was just the lead in.
Way better than the meeting last night.
We've got high expectations.
Way more fun.
Start coming for whatever's, you can sit there, you can stand, the microphone will pick you up. So
okay, all right, well, I'll just sit here if that's okay with you. So I hope everybody's heard that we have a Station 3 project that's part of the referendum stuff, I think, that's going out tomorrow to the citizens of Burlington. And some people think, oh, Station 3, where did this come from? Like, we just heard, this is the first time we've heard of it. But it's been in the making for probably 30 or more years. Started with two fire chiefs ago, at least, Bill L. had been talking about the need to reduce response times on the west side of Burlington, northwest corner there. So he was talking about it back then. It just never had legs under it. Never got any momentum until about 5 years ago, when we actually started staffing a third station. And it's been at 3400 Mount Pleasant Street in the old Aldi warehouse. So it's kind of, it's served a good portion of Burlington there. It's been very great for response times, but if you ever go there, the actual station is maybe half the size of this room and then a place where we park our ambulance. So the crews out there, they're there 24/7.
So they sleep there, their regular shift there. It's just two people on the ambulance. When they take a call, they have to go outside of their office and they go back inside to where the ambulance is parked. There's just room there for an ambulance, not room for an engine, not room for any of the other things that you would commonly see as part of a fire station. It's very small. So we've been working on, you know, what do we need for Station 3? What kind of things are we looking at? We've had a committee. It's been about a year and a half that committee's been meeting. Part of that was, you know, what do we need for a station? Where would it be located? Why? All those questions were answered. We got a construction manager hired and then an architect. And this is where a lot of people, the number one, I would say, when people don't approve of the fire station, it's the cost. It's the $7 million that's on the referendum. And I, when we first met with the architects, I'll say the first thing that we told them was like, this is Burlington, Iowa. We're not Marion. We're not one of the Des Moines suburbs. That's not the kind of fire station that we're going to build in Burlington and get past. So if you see the plans, it's a very, it's a nice station, but it's not a showpiece. At the same time, I think it's something that people would be proud of when they drive into Burlington to see this station at the location we're proposing, which is 2100 North Roosevelt. It's a big, big empty lot. It's been there. It's been an empty lot forever. It's kind of north of the animal shelter. And so that's where the station that has been designed, placed on that lot. It's a two-base, what we call a satellite fire station. So it has an engine and an ambulance, and that's all. We're not replacing Central Fire Station. So that's part of it. And then also, there'll be a training tower. Any fire department our size, Burlington size or bigger, maybe even a little smaller, they have a place to train for fire training, especially live fire training. We don't have that capability, never have in the history of the Burlington Fire Department. And so we've overcome that by using acquired structures. Every couple of years, you might see us, we'll acquire a house that we can actually burn in. We'll have some training, a one-day event normally. We've sent people off to schools. We've brought in props from the Fire Service Training Bureau to have some live fire training. Myself, when I came on the job, the first time I saw it, I was on the line at a fire, was at an actual fire. I never had any live fire training. It was just right into the fire. And that's kind of how a lot of people would come on to Burlington Fire Department. There just wasn't an option to do any live fire training. So that's really, the station is twofold, right? It's to meet response times and that northwest, west side of town. The standard is a 4-minute response time for fire and EMS.
A 4-minute response time in what?
Yeah, that's the national standard for fire and EMS. So if you have a fire and you call, you would expect us to be able to drive there in 4 minutes.
Okay.
So they give you a little leeway on the turnout time. It's about a minute to get out the door. So 5 minutes total. You can also use 1.5 road miles. But in Burlington, we don't have a lot of traffic, so 1.5 miles really decreases the, you know, if you're going to take a station and draw 1.5 road miles, it'd be much smaller than us showing a 4-minute response time. We can get a lot farther than 1.5 miles in 4 minutes, if that makes sense. So the standards, whether it's ISO or NFPA, they give you that leeway. You choose the standard 1.5 road miles or 4 minutes drive time, whatever pertains to your city. So we've chose the 4-minute drive time because it does expand that response time territory. So anyway, we're looking at response times, the training tower, and then something, we haven't been just blasting it out there, but we are trying to build a station where we, you know, that's considering all the people, the firefighters, their health and well-being, the number of women that we have coming into the fire service, the number of women we have on our department now. It was kind of an afterthought, even when we remodeled Central Station. If you go in there, it's a nice station. I love the remodel. The women's locker room, there's 3 lockers in there. It's really tiny. The men's locker room, there's 50 lockers in there, a couple showers, a really big bathroom. The dorm rooms, there's no privacy if you've been in there. There's little short walls in there. So this station, designed from the ground up to include everybody, the bathrooms are, I'm not sure what the term is now, but they're non-gender. They're a sink and a toilet and a shower behind the locked door. Anybody can use them. Those are great. The flow from the apparatus floor when you come back from a fire and you're in dirty turnout gear. You take your gear off, you throw it in the washer, you can go right into the restroom, you can take a shower, come out clean on the other side, not drag all the contaminants through the fire station. So that's one of the cool design elements that wasn't considered at Station 2 or Central Fire Station. I guess the last thing that I would just bring up is people have a lot of questions. They can always call me, they can come to the fire station. We've set up a series of open houses at Central Fire. We've had two of those. We have one more next Tuesday. Starts at 5 to 7. At 5:30, if there's people that are interested, we'll do a short presentation. Otherwise, we'll just answer questions. Our design, our architect will be there. Construction manager, city manager will all be there to answer questions. Of course, I'll be there. We also have a coffee with a firefighter this Saturday at Dunn Brothers. It's 9 to noon. It's not just about Station 3. That's anybody's invited. Bring your kids. We show them the fire trucks, do fire safety talks. And if people want to talk about Station 3, we'll do that then as well. So hopefully I covered all that. There's a lot of information on our city website. We try to make that the landing page. If you have a question, then you should be able to answer it there.
And I have a question. I'm not sure if you're the right person. It's my understanding that you pay home insurance, you know, they tell you it's X number of dollars a year, that there's a rating on either the distance, you know, or time for fire response. Is that?
You got to be within such a distance of a fire station for ISO.
And it affects your premium.
Yeah. Just to give you an example, we just signed an automatic aid agreement with West Burlington for the townships. And we never had that. So basically, that makes their station same as Burlington, right? It's when we get a fire in Beaverdale, they get dispatched at the same time. So essentially, they're now part of the Burlington Fire Department. And people that live in Beaverdale can count West Burlington Fire Station as being with it. They're within such a road mile. One of the local insurance companies wanted a copy of that right away. They said there was a business in Beaverdale. They were looking to save up to $50,000 a year on their premium by us signing that agreement, which is huge. Homeowners, it's probably a little bit less, and I think that's because the fire, your insurance covers wind and storm and flood and fire. Your risk of a fire claim is much lower than your risk of a lot of other claims. So the amount that it affects your fire premium is kind of an unknown. I'm not going out there telling homeowners you're going to save a bunch of money on your premium. I don't think that will necessarily happen.
I live by the South Station, and yeah, you do save maybe $100 to $150.
Okay, I didn't know whether this had any effect on that, but that's the way I
It's really hard to put a pen to paper and say we saved by building the station. So I wouldn't. As soon as I say that, somebody's insurance is going to go up for another reason, and they're going to say, you said I would save on insurance, so I don't.
But it's definitely a conversation.
Logically, it makes sense. The closer we are, the quicker we get there. That's what the 4 minutes is all about. We want to get to the fire while it's in the incipient state before a room flashes over and you're losing your whole house, right? We want to get there quick. So
it's definitely a conversation people should have with their insurance company, so.
Yeah.
Chief, would you mind putting out there about the ambulance coverage? I mean, it's not just Burlington, but it's all the townships. I mean, all the way north and west of Danville, the Burlington ambulance is covering as the primary ambulance throughout the county. I mean, they have by far the largest coverage of population in our townships and what they're covering, and they're responding all the way out there. Just them being on the west end is pretty important.
It's made a lot of sense. And actually, somebody from Danville told me the other day, if he could vote, he would vote no, because we're actually moving farther away from Danville by a little bit. They noticed the response time from 3100 Mount Pleasant Street. We've moved, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 miles closer to Danville. It's a straight shot. And, you know, it used to be where the Danville Fire Department would always beat us to a call. But now it's 50-50. A lot of times we're beating them, especially if you're talking the Middletown response district. So. Yeah, we cover all the way up to Pleasant Grove for ambulance, all of Danville, all the townships, all the way south to the Skunk River, north to 150th Street is our boundaries. I don't know what that's in Franklin Township to the north there, but it's a big district. And for fire, it's the four townships around Burlington, then Burlington, So it's a pretty expansive territory. Unfortunately, if you live in those areas, you don't, outside of Burlington, you don't get a vote on the referendum. It's only the citizens of Burlington. So we are really concentrating on trying to make the case that's needed for the citizens of Burlington, although it has a lot of benefits for West Burlington and all the townships.
I have a question.
Yes.
The citizens of Burlington are the only ones that can vote on this.
Yes.
But will it affect property taxes for the whole county?
No.
Just the city of
Just
Burlington?
Just the city of Burlington.
Okay.
That the we're asking for the, well, the referendum said it has $7 million, and that would equate to 63 cents per thousand. If your house is say your house is worth $100,000, it comes out to about $27 a year on a $100,000 house. And that's a 20-year bond. So that's the most. That's the most of the bond. That's what the referendum language says. That's the most that we could borrow. The city could borrow. It could hopefully be less than that.
Thank you, Chief Treffel.
Thanks for having me.
We have reports. We have the recorder's report of fees collected for September 2023. The clerk of court's report of fees collected for September 2023 and the Dewey Buyer Trust report for the quarter ending September 2023. These reports will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review at your convenience. Sure, I got the right one. October 10th and 12th, 2023.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Aye.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broeker.
Yes. Business.
I am.
Future agenda item. We have a solar wind ordinance.
Public hearing.
But you got it set up for what?
Next week, starting.
Is it next week?
That was the 31st.
Yep, you're correct. The 31st.
I'm going to get off my glasses.
31st, the 8th, and then the 14th.
Okay. That's correct.
Angie slipped out of here, and we got her on.
No, she's back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
How are you coming on? What a meeting you want with?
I sent the email to Lisa with the information, the questions.
We got most of it drafted, and a couple of them you're just not gonna like my answers. So.
Okay. So. Yeah, we're gonna work on the email. Do you want to do a meeting, or you want to email back and forth for a little
bit? We'll do it. Via email, just so when we're doing a work session, we have something concrete to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Committee reports.
I didn't have any.
I attended some of the meetings that Ken did, the governing board of the mental health aides, Mahasi, and then we approved claims, got the same updates that Ken went through that I will try to go through again in the CIT committee, the crisis intervention training committee. We updates from providers and the update from Elway that Ken went through. Joint safety committee was meeting met. The joint safety committee met, and the safety director got a performance review. And outside of getting a general hard time from the membership, she passed with flying colors. Excellent performance review. And I attended the Greater Burlington Partnership meeting this morning, and they were discussing a new logo. So I didn't have any input to offer on that. So anyway, that's all I had. It is time for public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, you can email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or you can call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you a couple minutes to initiate that email or call. While we're waiting, does anybody have any comments, information? You're going to have to talk about something, or I'm going to talk about Shane's cushion. Incidentally, Shane, it's sitting up there. So when you get back, you're looking for it. Mr. Saar.
Thank you, Collins.
I just want to make sure that the county engineer knows that I used to drive a dump truck for the county. In 1968, we would go out and harvest marijuana with my dump trucks in the ditches.
I saw the sheriff perk up.
Legally?
I didn't burn it. I just turned it over.
He just managed fire.
So you were the previous meeting, I'm sure.
That would explain a lot about him.
Shoveling on.
I did email you the code section this morning about the weed commissioner.
Okay. Did you say that was in 1958? No, Jim, it was 1968.
68. It's all hazy, Jim.
I thought I said 58. I was going to say, God, he started young.
I used to drive a truck for the weed commissioner in Mahaska County, so...
There's a lot of connections here. Who would have thought it'd be Ken and Bob?
That was before CDLs or anything, too. That was different time.
And they let anybody do it?
I had to get one.
Did you? Oh, I did. For a spray truck.
The difference between the city and the county is the county has a little trouble electing responsible individuals. So they end up with the three of us.
Yeah. Get what you deserve, I guess.
Okay. With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
Please.
Okay.
Aye.
Y'all have a great day.